In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with all of you. We like to start off our program, as usual, by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many wonderful titles, among which would be Mother. Mary is the Mother of God, which is the greatest of all titles. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is also the Mother of each and every one of us. We also cry out to Mary. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's turn to Mary and ask Mary to help us to grow to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself, the two greatest commandments, as we say. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director and ask our spiritual director to help us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Like Mary, most holy, the Holy Spirit also has many different titles. Many different titles. Among which would be, he's known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler. He's also known as our counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. As St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But good news. The Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us with great trust and great humility, because Holy Spirit is God himself. Let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect. Let's also beg him to set our hearts on fire with divine love as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How true it is, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. How good it is to start off our day by praying together, by inviting Mary to be with us, inviting the Holy Spirit to guide us, inviting the angels to be with us, inviting the saints to be with us. What a great way to start off our day. Also to recognize that the Perseverance family are you, but also the angels and the saints. We are, without a doubt, we are in not only good company, but we're in the best of company with God and His friends being with us. So to give you further encouragement, as always, I promise that I'll pray for you in my Mass today. I'd like to place you on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Beyond a shadow of doubt, the greatest of all prayers, my friends, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's the greatest of all prayers. The holy sacrifice of the Mass. So in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we unite heaven and earth by the offering the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ to the Eternal Father. We offer Jesus Christ, the spotless victim, to the Eternal Father. Now I'd like to offer these prayers. First, that all of us today would make a concerted effort on our part to be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. We may even pray this short prayer that I've composed during the course of the day. That is, come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come. To the heart of Mary. My second intention will be that all of us will come together with the intention of really getting to know our faith better. It's one of the primary purposes of our Perseverance family is I serve as a teacher to try to get us to know better the Word of God, how to apply it to our lives, getting to know our catechism, and how to deal with some pastoral problems. So our conversation is formative, but pretty extensive. And we always like to speak about the saints because The saints, of course, are our models. My third intention I'd like to pray is that let's pray for those who will die today. Die. That we would die in the grace of God. Those who will die begging mercy from God. May God hear our prayers. So, my friends, it's great to be with you, and there's a lot to cover, as always. Not to forget to pray in a special way this month of November for our deceased relatives and friends, and even the abandoned souls, praying for the souls in purgatories of every salutary practice to undertake always, but especially in the month of November. And to offer your prayers, your sacrifices, your almsgivings, and even try to apply in a plenary indulgence for the souls in purgatory. Do that as often as you can. Yesterday in Mass, we had that powerful first reading from the second chapter of Maccabees, chapter 7, in which a mother encourages her seven sons not to eat pork. They're living in a Hellenistic culture, a Greek culture, and the Greeks are trying to force the people in their kingdom to abide by their laws, among which would be to force the Jews to give up their dietary code, their kosher laws. And groups of them, of the Jews, would not abide by this. Yesterday we saw seven young men that preferred to die rather than to eat the pork. Not only did they prefer to die rather than to eat the pork, but they were actually tortured. Maimed, their hands were cut off, their tongues cut out. But they spoke with great courage. This is one of the biblical passages that speaks about the eternal life in heaven. For example, the Sadducees that talked to our Lord denied the reality of heaven. And that's why they're sad, you see. They're sad, you see, because they deny the reality of heaven. We deny the reality of heaven, we're going to be sad. You see? Sad, you see. I thought you liked that one, that play on words. But these valiant Jews, were ready to die rather than to deny God's law, which came to them from Moses. So the seven were martyred, and then finally the mother. How courageous, how valiant they were. Let's pray that we learn from the book of Maccabees and the seven sons and the mother to be courageous. There's a saying that says, he who stands for nothing will fall for everything. He who stands for nothing will fall for everything. So, let us stand for Christ. Let's stand up for the truth. Let's stand up for the teaching of Holy Mother Church. May we become valiant soldiers for Christ. Let's give our lives totally to the Lord. So let's move from the readings yesterday, the Sunday Mass, to the readings today. So the first reading today, we're starting to read the beginning of the letter of St. Paul to Titus. St. Paul had evangelized, taught, and even ordained two young men. One was Timothy, the other one was Titus. So you're actually going to see St. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy and wrote one letter to Titus. So today we have the beginning of the letter of St. Paul to Titus. I'd like just to pull out one idea one idea from the letter of Paul to Titus. Among the many things that St. Paul says he's a slave of God and apostle of Jesus Christ for the sake of the faith of God's chosen ones. True slavery is being slavery to God. True joy is being an apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Apostle comes from Greek and it means to be sent. Footenchin gives us the key. First come, then go. Come to be with Christ and go out to the whole world. But one of the essential messages from the beginning of the letter of Paul to Titus today, we have chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. St. Paul orders Titus to do something that's very important for us today, 2,000 years later. Paul says to Titus, it's actually a command, he says, appoint presbyters in every town, as I directed you. Appoint presbyters in every town, as I directed you. Now, what does presbyter mean? Well, an interpretation would be the elders. But for us, the word presbyter actually means priest. There are actually three levels. There are three levels of priesthood. Now, 8 days ago, we had those three different levels in our parish. We had the bishop come to install the new pastor, a priest. And helping out the bishop was our deacon, Deacon Jonas. So you had Bishop Mark, the priest in St. Peter Chanel, and you had the Deacon Jonas, who was the MC helping out the bishop in this mass of installation of the new pastor. Well, let's speak briefly about that. Appoint presbyters in every town as I directed you. How very important it is, my friends. How very important is, my friends, for the world to have priests. to have priests in every town, every village, every city. However, the sad reality is that, as Jesus said 2,000 years ago, the harvest is very rich. The harvest is very rich. The harvest is very rich. But then our Lord concludes by saying, but the laborers are few. Then our Lord goes on to point out, beg the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to work in his vineyard. My friends, I think that we really have to look at the current situation and see that there is more and more shortage of priests. We happen to have a real blessing in our parish because we actually have two older priests and three other priests that are not that old. Now, the younger priest, I'm the oldest one. And we have a deacon. We have a cat, too. But that's an anomaly or an exception to the rule. Most parishes are not going to have five priests, a deacon, and a cat. Most will not. You might say you got a cat because you teach a lot of catechism. Okay, I gotcha. I like playing on words, don't you? Yeah, better the cat than we teach more catechism than dogmatic theology, right? But other places, there's a real shortage of priests. Parishes that have one priest. Sometimes you have one priest where there's clustering, and that priest has to attend to five different parishes. Europe, I think there was a priest that had to attend like 12 different parishes because in a certain place in Europe, there are simply no priests. So, on your part, as well as my part, let's pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Because the harvest is rich and the laborers are few. Pray and offer up sacrifices. I'm giving an 8-day retreat now to a Carmelite nun who came from Georgetown, California, up near Sacramento. And one of the primary charisms of the Carmelites is to pray, to offer up sacrifices, but also to pray for priests. Pray for priests. The other day I was listening to Father Patrick Madrid on All Saints, related the first reading that St. Paul is speaking about, send priests to every town. Teresa of Avila, who was instrumental in reforming the Carmelites, she would be going from one place to another to establish new convents of Carmelites with smaller members in Madrid, Valladolid, in Barcelona, in Valencia, in Salamanca. She established them and gave the name San Jose. But Teresa of Avila recounts an experience related to the priesthood that I'd like to share with you. She was in this somewhat out of the way place, and she wanted to go to confession, and there was a priest in that town. She went to confession to him, and he just seemed to be weird. And she noticed that when she went to confession, he seemed to be looking at her in a very improper way, which made her feel somewhat uncomfortable. This holy woman was able to pick up the vibes that there was something off in his priesthood. He was not living it the way God wanted him to live it. So one day she was taking a walk. I think there was a forest nearby and a river. Taking a walk. And all of a sudden he appeared out of nowhere. And seemed to be approaching her, and it seemed to be even with bad intentions. And what happened in this encounter was, this priest was living with a woman, had a concubine. He's living with a woman, obviously breaking his promise of celibacy. And what this woman had done to this priest was she gave him a talisman or a... It was a talisman that she actually put a curse on or a hex on. And he put this around his neck. And this woman had him bound, so to speak, to her and to the devil by this talisman, this superstitious object. So hearing about this, Teresa of Avila was able to get this talisman from this priest. And she took it and she threw it into the nearby river. And that broke the spell because this woman put a spell on this priest. Broke the spell. Apparently this priest went to confession. He left this concubine, this woman that he was living with. And he started to live a really holy life. And not long after this encounter with Teresa of Avila, he actually died. So I thought I'd tell you that story. As St. Paul says, appoint presbyters. In every town, as I directed you. My friends, how powerful this statement I'm going to relate to you right now, but how true, is that the people are at the mercy of the priest. For that reason, St. Vincent de Paul goes on to say that greatest blessing a parish can have is to have a holy pastor. Greatest blessing a parish can have is to have a holy pastor, having holy priests. Look at the person of the Curé of Ars. At the end of his life, the devil, aware of all the good that he was able to carry out. The devil, aware of all the good he was able to carry out. would go on to say that there were five more of those priests like the Curie of Ars, five more. Then his kingdom would be destroyed. Curie of Ars would go on to say, a saintly priest, a holy people, holy priests, a good people. A good priest, an average people. An average priest, a sinful people. Sinful priest, a damned people. The shepherd and the sheep. Curie of Ars would go on to say this. Maybe some of you remember back, say maybe about 11 years ago, Pope Benedict XVI, he proclaimed the year of the priesthood. He took as the model for priests the Curie of Ars. I actually have a first-class relic of the Curie of Ars in my studio here. Little bone. Part of a bone of the saint of the Curie of Ars. In one of his homilies, the Curie of Ars preached in this way. What we're doing, my friends, if you're tuning in, I'm going through just one idea in the beginning of the letter of St. Paul to Titus, in which he says, to appoint presbyters, which means priests, in every town, as I directed you. In every town as I directed you. The Curie of Ars says this. We really see the importance of the priesthood and priests living out their priesthood to the fullest extent possible. The Curie of Ars preaches by means of a series of questions. And more or less, this is what the Curie of Ars says that Pope Benedict was quoting. And it's this. In the moment of your baptism and the baptism of your children, who is present? Most likely the priest. When you made your first confession, where you're reconciled to God through the blood of Christ, who was present? It was the priest. When you made your confirmation, who was present? The priest in the person of the bishop, because the bishop, we've already spoken about, there are three different levels of the priesthood, the diaconate, presbyter, and the episcopacy. The bishop has the fullness of the priesthood. So with the confirmation, the bishop is present. When you decided to get married, where did you go? Well, you probably went to the parish office and asked for information, but eventually you're going to meet the priest. And the priest will sit down and he will And he will give you instructions and advice and counsels. And this culminates, of course, on your wedding day. Most of you are married. And when you're married, you said in front of the priest, I promise to be faithful to you in good times, as well as in bad, in health, as well in sickness, in riches, as well as in poverty, until death do you part. You as husband and wife, you actually conferred that sacrament. Most people don't know that the sacrament of holy matrimony, it's actually the couple that confers that sacrament. But who was the one that was overseeing the sacrament? It would have been the priest. It would have been the priest. Now, let's move on. When you had a marriage crisis, or you had a problem with your family, or had some moral predicament or dilemma that you couldn't seem to resolve, where did you go? Where did you go? Where did you go? You went to the priest, so that the priest would be able to give you good advice. Your priest would be able to give you good advice. And possibly as a result of that, a couple came to me in crisis and I gave them advice in their married life. And what I said the other day in my talk in Pomona, and I was addressing myself to married couples, as many of you are, this is the advice that the priest should be giving to all married couples. Here's the following. The best thing, that the wife can do for her husband is to fall in love with God every day. And the best thing that the wife can do for the husband is to fall in love with God every day. Because when the wife is falling in love with God every day, she's able to love her husband with the heart of Christ. And when the husband falls in love with Christ, with God every day, he's able to love his wife and his children with the heart of Christ. Therefore, now speaking as a priest, I've done many, many weddings. And I'll probably do many in the future. Sometimes group weddings, as many as 25 couples at the same time. One of the essential parts of my homily is the following. That I'd like to give a summary of one of the books of Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. And the name of this book is It Takes Three to Get Married. Who are these three? The husband, the wife, and Jesus Christ. When Christ is placed in the center of the family, then the family is going to flow well. But if Christ is marginalized, the family is going to have a lot of problems. So what I'm doing, I'm kind of expanding upon a homily of the Curia of Ars, developing the thought of Paul's letter to Titus, appoint presbyters in every town, as I directed you. In all these key moments of our lives, who we see present is the person of the priest. We see present the person of the priest. Now, when your mother or grandmother got very sick, very sick, who did you call? Hopefully you called the priest. So that your mother, your grandmother, or maybe even yourself, you're going through very challenging health problems during the pandemic, or for whatever reason it might be. You call the priest. So that the priest could help your mother or father or grandmother in the last stages of his or her life. When my mother was failing, I traveled to New Hampshire, and possibly the most important thing I did was I was able to hear her confession and then give her the anointing of the sick, then contained within the continual rite of the three sacraments after the anointing of the sick, I gave her what is called the apostolic pardon. If you receive the apostolic pardon, with that, you receive what is called a plenary indulgence. If you're not familiar with a plenary indulgence, it means because of the treasures of the church that Christ obtained for us on Calvary with his pierced heart and blood and water flowing forth, we have the sacraments. And in that infinite treasure, we have the indulgences. Then after I gave her the apostolic pardon, I gave her Holy Communion. As Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. So expounding and expanding upon the teaching of the Curia Varus, who was the priest patron of the year of priests that Pope Benedict XVI had proclaimed, we're talking about the importance of a priest in those critical moments. At the end of our life. So I was able to pray to give the confession, anointing the sick, apostolic pardon, communion, and praying the rosary in the chapel of divine mercy with another one of my brothers so that the Lord would call. Mom would be ready to go from this life to the next before the presence of Christ. My friends, what we're saying is this, is that St. Paul says to Titus to appoint presbyters in every town as I directed you. Is that St. Paul laid his hands upon Timothy and Titus. They were younger. St. Paul considered Timothy and Titus to be his spiritual sons, that he generated them through the preaching of the Word of God. And then when Paul laid his hands, on these two young men, Timothy and Titus, they were ordained priests. And he also consecrated them as bishops. So as a result of that, Timothy and Titus could lay their hands on these young men and ordain them as priests, as presbyters. So they would preside over their church. So expounding even more upon the teaching of the Curia Varus. Curia Varus would also say, at the funeral of your loved one, your mother, your father, your grandfather, at the funeral, who is present? At the funeral mass, obviously your priest, your pastor, or one of your associate pastors was present there. Now, after that, at the burial, when your father was buried, who was present there for the burial? It would have been the priest, saying the prayers for the dead. And every year, when you have a Mass offered for your father, who do you go to? You go to the secretary to ask for the Mass, but you have to have the priest who's actually celebrating the memorial Mass, as we had last week in our parish for many of our deceased loved ones. So in all these key moments, all these key spiritual moments in the life of the human person, all these key moments in the life of the human person, who is present? It is the person of the priest. In the baptism, the priest or the deacon is present. When we go to confession, you can confess your sins to a lay person, but nothing's going to happen. But when you hear those words, "Then I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit," it has to be a validly ordained priest, so that you can have those words of absolution applicable to your life. When you go to Mass and the priest lifts up the bread and wine, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. Do this in memory of me." There you have il gran milagro. You have the great miracle happening in the hands of the priest through the words of the priest. And then the words, the counsels of the priest. According to the Second Vatican Council, Vatican II, the Church Fathers point out that the priest has many functions. He's not a bureaucratic functionary, no. There are many important spiritual roles. Among which would be, there are two primary works of the priest. First is to pray. That's why you come to my Perseverance family conversation. You notice that I always start off our conversation praying quite a bit with you, because that's the most important part. I spend a good 5 minutes praying with you, and then I say that I will pray for you, placing you on the altar. That part of our Perseverance family conversation, it's important. Possibly it's the most important part, praying together with you and placing you on the altar in the Mass. What could be more important than that? So our primary obligation is that of praying. Praying the Liturgy of the Hours 5 times a day. But of course, the greatest, the most sublime of all prayers is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Nothing goes beyond that. But after praying, also the priest, remember the two P's. The priest is called also to preach. To preach or to teach. Not his own private doctrine, private opinion, is speculations. But primarily the priest, in imitation of the great apostle Saint Paul, he's called to preach the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Paul says, I count everything as rubbish in comparison to the excelling knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I count everything as rubbish, as trash, in comparison with the excelling knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, my friends, we spent our wonderful conversation just commenting on one idea taken from the beginning of the letter of St. Paul to Titus. St. Paul and Titus, both priests and bishops. And I think the message is very clear for all of us, that it is incumbent upon all of us to support priests by our prayers, but also that we should try to do all we can to promote vocations to the priesthood and to religious life. Because, my friends, the harvest indeed is very rich. The harvest indeed is very rich. But the laborers are too few. Let us beg the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to work in his vineyard. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.